Sunday evening, we started on a message that we entitled, When Things Don't Go My Way. Tonight, I want to take the time to conclude some thoughts and conclude that message together tonight. Let's bow together, though, in a word of prayer before we get underway this evening. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight again that we can come and gather together around the Word of God. Father, it is our responsibility as your people to study thy Word as it is indeed in truth, that we might be men not ashamed, able to rightly divide together thy Word as it's been given to us. We are promised a blessed life for those who meditate day and night in thy word. We'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Our leaves will not wither, and whatsoever we do will prosper. Father, we live in a day and age where many a Christian is setting aside the truth of the Word of God for the thoughts and the opinions of men. Many times we give very little thought as to the consequence to such a decision. Father, I pray that you would help us to come and search thy word, that we would know how we must live in this day and age. So Lord, we'll ask and pray your blessing upon us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned to you last week that there's been within my heart a growing concern about some things that are happening around us, some sin that some are intent on living in. And although the things that I see are relatively specific, the reality is that the things that we want to consider through this two nights or two messages really have a much broader application for all of us. Every one of us is going to face within our lives a time or times when things simply just don't go our way. Nothing will seem to go right, and everything will seem to crumble around us. The question for us is, how will we respond when things aren't going our way? What will we do when those times of testings come? And by the way, they are times of testing designed for us by Almighty God. We mentioned last week that there's the reality that we face not only in the broad sense within our own lives that things won't go our way, but there are times that within the church that there will be things that won't go as we think they need to go. Decisions will be made that we may not agree with. Directions may be chosen that we don't comprehend nor understand. And so the question for us as a people is, how do we respond in those times together as a local church? How do we handle things when they just don't go our way? All of us, I think, understand that decisions will be made around us that will impact us, that will affect us, but aren't necessarily made against us. Within the work of any ministry, with any church, there are decisions that are made for what I would call the greater good, or what I would call the long-term view. And sometimes folks in the short term don't like the impact of a long-term decision in their short-term future. Yet I believe as pastor and as deacons, as leadership, there are times that we have to make decisions for the long-term view. And I'll be honest with you. I would like to be able to live and tell you that within the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, Jesus Christ is coming again, and we don't really have to think down the road that far. Yet I realize this, Paul believed and Peter believed and John believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was returning in their day. That was thousands of years ago. And yet we still today go on. And God is not willing that any should perish, but is still long-suffering, and God is still at work. And so we must consider things down the road. When things don't go our way, how will you respond? Will you accept these times as, although not the way that you would like it, would you accept it that those decisions made are for the benefit of the greater good, and therefore give to those who make those decisions the benefit of the doubt? Or will you spend your time complaining and sharing your thoughts about the situation with others, causing them to be upset when they hadn't even given thought until you spoke to them? How do we respond when things don't go our way? Whether that be at business, whether that be at home, but specifically within the church. How will we respond? Last week, as we started our message, we considered the thought of the power of two. From that point, we considered three things. Number one, there are two lives that you can live. Galatians 5, verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You and I, when faced with times when things don't go our way, can decide to either live in our flesh or we can live in the spirit. We can live according to the ways of men, according to our thoughts, or we can submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God and submit ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. We will ultimately make the choice based on the second factor, and that is there are two masters that we can serve. Matthew 6, 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You will either choose to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, or you will choose to serve mammon, material things, which in essence is serving self. Ken Collier, who is now the president of the Wilds camp there in North Carolina, has made this statement for many years: "There are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self." You have a choice to make in the way that you live. You can either choose to live for God, or you can choose to put yourself upon the throne. You can either accept the things around you as the will of God, the sovereign hand of God directing through those around you, or you can simply fight against it and say, "No, I want my way." When things don't go our way, there are two choices that we must make. What life will I live? What master will I serve? And folks, I want you to understand the importance of those decisions, because ultimately there are two ends to be determined. There is either a blessing or there is a curse. You will either know the good that God intends for your life, or you will suffer the hurt that Satan has designed for you. Our God desires to do for us good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Why? Because those that He has foreknown, He has predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants your best in mind. And at times He will be trusting trials and testing in order to make us what He wants us to be. But if we do not respond in the way that we should, as the Word of God teaches us, then we must understand that trial and testing, there is also the temptation. And Satan desires to sift us as wheat, to bring us through and devour us, because he is a lion walking about seeking whom he may destroy. He is an enemy. And when you and I begin to live in the flesh, the problem is our flesh becomes enticed and we live in sin. And as we persist in sin, when sin is finished, it brings death. So when things don't go your way, the response that you make is critical. There are two lives that you can live based on the two masters that you can serve, and both have an end. What path are you on tonight? I have a growing concern and a burden for my own heart, for those that I minister to, and all around me, and for my family, that we begin to go back and begin to do things God's way. Too often what I see and too often what becomes my concern is that men and women and families are making decisions with very little thought to what God wants for them, and very little thought to the consequence of their decisions, because we're not considering life from God's point of view. Every choice you make has an impact upon us and our future. For the scripture is clear that you and I will reap what we sow, and don't be deceived by the lies of the devil that say that's not true. Every choice you make has a consequence. Every choice you make has a profound impact on your future and on your family. And every choice you make within this church has an impact on those within the body of Christ, because we are linked together. Sometimes you and I need to consider in love others in the choices that we make. As we continue on in our message this evening, I want you to consider together, what is God's purpose for our testing? Why does God allow difficult times to enter into our lives? Why would God not allow things just to go our way? Let's face it, wouldn't life be so much easier if everything went our way? We think so. We think if everyone would just listen to me, life would be so much better. At least from our vantage point or from our perspective. Why does God allow times of testing to come into our lives? And let's face it, if God really loved us, would He test us? If God really loved us, would He allow trials which are hard for us and ask us to endure them? Folks, the answer is yes, He would. Because God loves us, He tests us. Because God cares about you and me, He brings into us times of trial that we might be drawn to Him. And there are three basic reasons tonight that I want you to see why God brings times of testing into your life and into mine. Why is it that things don't go my way? Well, there's three reasons. Number one, God's tests determine our loyalties. God's test determines our loyalties. It's been said about temptation that all of its frightful possibilities for failure. Testing is God's way of testing our loyalties. With all of the frightening possibilities of failure in the midst of trials and testing, it is one way that God is able to test your loyalty and mine. With each test, God seeks to develop our passion for Him. He desires that we love Him more than anyone and anything else. What God desires is that through the test, we choose Him as our Lord. He wants our passion for Him to be greater than our passion for sin.
See, with every trial and test, there is temptation. We can walk in righteousness or we can walk in unrighteousness. We can walk in the Spirit or we can walk by the flesh. And through all of this, God has designed it that it would test our loyalties. There is no more striking example of this than the life of Abraham. I want you to turn over to Genesis 22 tonight. Genesis 22. The Bible makes it very clear that God loved us so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son for us. And there is no greater love ever shown than that love of God. In the Old Testament, God asked Abraham to take his only son Isaac, whom he loved, and offer him as a sacrifice. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood and the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him of. Some have come to a passage such like this and said that God in testing Abraham was cruel. That God was wrong for what he did to him. Why put him through such a test? Why cause Abraham to go through such agony and sorrow and difficulty? Because this test would prove to Abraham and all who would look on that Abraham loved God more than anyone else. Look at verse 12. And he said, God speaking now to Abraham, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, for me. Christian, let me ask you this evening. When things don't go your way, what or whom do you choose? When things don't go your way, what choice do you make? I want you to hear this. That choice determines where your loyalties lie. When things don't go my way, and I choose the fleshly reaction and sin, I have chosen my loyalty to self. When things don't go my way, and instead of coming to God in prayer and allowing Him to do His work, I complain behind the scenes to people who have no business to know what my thoughts are or who can change nothing about it. I am choosing loyalty to self over loyalty to God. When things don't go my way, the people that I choose or the things that I choose to do determine my loyalty. Every test and every temptation is an opportunity to test our loyalty. I believe that in what we call the little things as much as in the big things. When things don't go my way, God is placing before us a test of our loyalty. When you and I choose to hold on to bitterness and anger and wrath and malice, are we not saying that we love self more than we love God? Aren't we? Because God said, put those things away. By the way, that's not a suggestion. Those are commands. It's not, well, you just don't understand. That's my personality. Your personality is perverted and your personality needs to change. It's still sin. And when we choose to hold on to those things, we are saying, God doesn't matter. I do. When we lie or stretch the truth in order to embellish the story or to spin things so that the way we are seen is in a favorable light, we are declaring that we love self more than God, because God is a God of truth and lies are an abomination unto Him. Are they not? God is truth. Where does lies come from? Satan. He's the father of lies. Now, folks, I don't care how you want to spin it or how you want to define it. Sin is a defiance against Almighty God. And a lie is a lie. I don't care if it's a little white lie or if it's a big fat fib. I don't care if you're just distorting the truth a little bit. You're still distorting the truth. And God is a God of truth. And He hates lies. He hates error. By the way, you can lie by commission, and you can lie by omission. You can flat out tell a lie and distort the truth, or you can leave out important elements of the truth which lead people to think something else. And you know, by the way, when you're doing it. Why do we do that, by the way? Because I want to be considered favorable. I want people to like me. I don't want people upset with me. Folks, God says we should speak the truth in love. And sometimes the truth will hurt. And by the way, sometimes the truth won't make you look all that great. Because you're not all that great. But when we do those things, we are declaring a loyalty to self. And we say in our day and age, well, that's just a little thing. I personally think God disagrees. Because I think He cares. Six things doth the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination. What's the first one? Pride. We call that a little thing today. What's the second one? Say it out loud. A lying tongue. And we call that a little thing today. It's not. We look at it and say, well, lying's not as bad as murder. It's not as bad as adultery or immorality. Interesting, God puts it pretty high above on His list. Matter of fact, you know what the last thing is on that list? They that sow discord among the brethren. You know who that is, by the way? That's the complainer. That's the griper. That's the gossiper. That's the person who spends all their time on the phone and on the email and making sure that everyone knows what their point of view is about what was just done. Tell me I'm wrong. Folks, that sows discord amongst the family of Almighty God. And God says those things are an abomination to Him. We call it just a little thing. See, folks, the decisions that you make when things aren't going your way, even in these little things, as we call them, are a test of your loyalty. Will I choose God or will I choose self? Will I choose to walk in the Spirit as He directs me, producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Or will I allow myself to live in the flesh and the works of my flesh?
Every test and every trial is an opportunity for you to prove your loyalty to Almighty God. Every sin is a sign of loyalty to self and not to God. Number two, God's tests develop our character. They not only determine our loyalties, but they develop our character. God allows temptations and trials that we might be molded into the image of Christ. I think a poet well said, "Talent is formed in solitude, but character in the storms of life." Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University and a well-known evangelist of a previous generation, said, "The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop you." Trials and temptation are a magnifying glass that reveal to us how much work needs to be done in our lives. It shows us where we are weak and where our character needs to be developed. When faced with temptation, we can quickly assess our loyalties and our purity. I want to ask you some questions tonight. How much does it take to cause you to sin? How much does it take to cause you to sin? How much does it take for your anger to be stirred? How much does it take for you to become bitter and angry with another? How much pressure does it take before you first lie? There are two kinds of people in this world when pressure comes. There are those whose first inclination is to always tell the truth, accept the consequences. Those are few and far between. Most people lie first, and if they get away with it, good. If not, we'll make it up from there. We'll make it up as we go. That's true in business. That's true in family lives. That's true in ministry. How much does it take for us to sin? Are you easily enticed to sin? See, we sin when our lusts are enticed and we are drawn away. So how quickly are you enticed to sin? One thought, one statement, or can your character withstand those things? Now, folks, the reality is we all struggle. And there's not a Christian who lives upon the face of this earth or has lived that doesn't struggle with sin. Paul struggled with sin. He states that he had not obtained yet perfection. And as you read through his letters, it's obvious that he still battled with his own sinful nature. But here's the wonderful thing that Paul gives us by way of example. Paul fought hard against those things that enticed him. See, Paul could say, the things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And the things that I really should be doing, I don't do those enough.
But you know what he could say to Timothy at the end of his life? I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and in it all, I kept the faith. See, folks, you and I, and men and women of character, are going to have to fight still against sin. We're not perfect. But I ask you tonight, how quick are you enticed? How easy is it for you to fall? That is a revelation of the character of your life. And God will allow trials and testing that He might reveal to us where our character lies. And folks, in every test and every trial that I face, God shows me a little bit more about what I need to work on. And if you're open your eyes, He'll show it to you too. Because none of us have obtained, none of us are perfect. God wants to use everything in our life to mold us to the image of Christ. Again, Romans 8 and verse 29, we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Job said it this way in Job 23:10. Job understood that when he was tried and taken through the furnace of God, that he would come forth as purer gold. Job understood there was a purpose in God's testing. Peter reminds us this in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, folks, God wants to mold your character. He wants to make you more like Christ. When things don't go our way, we must choose to honor God over self. And when we choose to honor God over self, we strengthen our character and develop greater Christ-likeness. See, when you're tempted to be angry and bitter with someone else and you choose instead to love, you are choosing to live like Jesus Christ would live. When you're tempted to lie or to stretch the truth or to spin it so that you look good and no one's upset with you, and instead of doing that, you tell the truth and you speak the truth in love, you are demonstrating the life of Christ in you. You are under the control of the Spirit, and you are strengthened in your character. When you're enticed to sin, and you come to the devil with Scripture and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and he flees you, your strength and your character is built. God wants to develop, He wants to strengthen your character to make us more like Christ. There's one final thought. God's test display His grace. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Why does God allow testing and trials to come into our life? Because God through you wants to display His wondrous and matchless grace. Look at verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, folks, I don't think Paul thought of that first and foremost. I think he wrote that after God had taught him the truth that he's about to reveal. I think he struggled with the thorn in the flesh just like you and I would struggle with the thorn in the flesh. But God is now about to reveal the truth to Paul that's going to give him that kind of perspective. Paul says in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." Paul said, "I wanted it gone out of my life for good." So why did God leave it there? Verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now read what Paul says. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying." Folks, what Paul is basically saying to us is this: that there are times of trial and test within your life and mine that God, through you and in you first, would show you His grace. His grace that's sufficient for every need. When things don't go your way, God says, "I want you to know my grace sufficient for your need." When you're struggling and you feel weak, then I can show my strength in you. When you don't feel it's possible to go on any further, God says, "I'll pick you up. I'll carry you through. I'll demonstrate my grace in you and through you." When things don't go your way, God wants to demonstrate through you and display in you His grace. Paul went through a life-changing, folks, event. It was no little thing. He asked, "Lord, please take this away. It needs to go." And God said, "No." It would change his life forever. But God wanted his grace to be seen. But that event not only changed his life, it changed his perspective in life for the good. Because Paul allowed it to. Paul had his eyes and his ears open, and he heard God, and he refused to listen to the temptation that would say, "God doesn't care about you, that's why this trial exists. If God really loved you, this wouldn't be there." Paul believed God and took him at his word, and by faith continued to go forward for the Lord. Why doesn't God just make things better for those who want to please Him? Because in our weakness, He wants His strength to be seen. In our inability, He wants others to see His ability. See, I can choose to live in my flesh, but without Him, I can and will do nothing that matters for eternity. See, God gives you the choice. You can live by the flesh. You can choose to serve self. And in the end, you'll get what you deserve. You'll miss the blessing of Almighty God. But what God would rather is you choose to let His life be lived in you and through you, and you become a channel of His blessing to a world who needs to see the power of Almighty God.
Paul would say it this way in Philippians 3 in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have an opportunity through our lives and through the things that we go through, designed by Almighty God, to be an opportunity to display his matchless grace. When we endure through the trials and the difficulties and learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and refuse to lean to our own understanding, we demonstrate to those who look on that God's grace is sufficient for me. And it's sufficient for you. When we refuse to give in to the temptation of sin, we demonstrate to those who watch that God's grace not only promises hope for our future, but it gives us a power in the present. For sin has no more dominion over me. God wants to display his grace through us. When things don't go your way, how do you respond? Flesh or the Spirit? God or self? Be careful of your choice, because both have an end. Why doesn't God just take all of that away? Because God wants to determine your loyalties. He wants to develop your character. And he wants to, in you and through you, display his grace. By the way, if God didn't want to do that, folks, why not, after you're saved, just take you home to be with him? Wouldn't that be far better? Paul said, you know, I'm in the strait betwixt two. See, to be here with you is needful, but I'd rather be with the Lord. But in the end, he knew that God's grace was sufficient for him. God wants to display his grace in you. He wants to make you more like Christ. And he's going to test your loyalty. How quick are we to sin? How quick are we to choose self and sin over the Savior who loved us and gave his life for us? Did he not die that you might live and live a life more abundantly? He absolutely did. Why should we then settle for anything less? And when you choose self over the Savior, you're choosing less. When things don't go your way, what will you do? The choices that you make and the things in which you get involved are going to make all the difference. It's going to make the difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your family. And folks, it's going to make a difference within our church. See, when we as a people make decisions to allow sin to reign within us, it impacts our church, it impacts our future, and it impacts God's ability to bless the way he wants. I want to be able to gather together as a church and pray, Lord, show us great and mighty things that we know not. And I want to watch him do it. And yet I think sometimes what God is waiting for is for us to get rid of self and choose our Savior.
We are a stubborn, a stiff-necked, and an arrogant group of people. And I don't just mean our church, I mean Christianity as a whole today. We think we have got it all figured out. And we don't even need God. We can make our own choices. And then we wonder why. It's just not going the way we planned. Folks, God wants our attention. And He wants our heart. And I think God desires to do great things with us. Yet too many are content to live a life in sin with no care or concern for what it does to everyone else. And I think it's high time we care. I think it's high time we stand up and say, it is righteousness for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. And if you don't like it, you don't need to fellowship with my house. Because I don't want people coming in and destroying my kids and my wife and the people that I love in my church. Joshua said, choose today who you'll serve. Elijah said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Select the one you serve. Choice is ours. When things don't go your way, what will you do in times like that? What will you do for your life, your family, and this church? Folks, it's going to make all the difference in our lives and in our future. And can I remind you of this truth? One day, the roll will be called, and we will be up yonder. And you're going to stand before Almighty God and give an account. That trumpet can sound tonight. Are you ready? See, those who have that hope purify themselves even as He is pure. And sin is not a little thing. It's an offense to Almighty God because it's defiance against Him. Let's pray.